Last Monday morning, I had to fly to the West Coast, and early last Monday morning, I was in the Minneapolis airport, and I picked up a Minneapolis newspaper, and about the third page in, they had the results of a recent poll they had taken. They had talked to people in Minnesota that were older than 21 years of age, and here's the question they asked: what do you talk about? What do you talk about? And here's how it broke down, the percentage of time that they talked about different things. 25%, again, these were people that lived in Minnesota over 21 years of age. 25% of the time they spent talking about sports. 18% they spent talking about other types of amusement. 16% of the time they spent talking about world and domestic affairs. 15% of the time they spent talking about work. 12% of the time they spent talking about the past and or the future. 8% of the time they spent talking about family. And 6% of the time they spent talking about religion or God. And I took my pen out of my pocket, and right across the face of the article, I wrote these words: let's talk about Jesus. Because I said, this is all upside down. I mean, the two that are on the bottom, family and then God, ought to be the two that are up on the top. I mean, not on the bottom. And I said to myself, man, I hope, and I started doing some figuring as to what I talk about. And I want to be able to say that most of the words that come out of my mouth, most of the time I spend talking, I talk about Jesus. And that little chorus that we sing came into my mind and into my heart. Let's talk about Jesus. Sing it with me. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I said, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about all this other stuff. I want to talk about Jesus. Most of you know this was a hard, hard week for most of us here. God took little Michaela to heaven. We said goodbye Thursday at a funeral service here at the church. I was in Phoenix on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I caught a flight at midnight on Wednesday night, Phoenix time, so I could get home in time for the funeral. And on the airplane, I was talking to God. And I'm sure I said some things that Heather and Jeremy said, because it's only natural. I was sort of complaining. I said, God, I don't understand why you work the way you work. Why did you have to take her? She was so young. She had her whole life in front of her. And I said this. I said, you know, sometimes I think you're a bit unfair. And God didn't speak to me in an audible voice, but he spoke to my heart and my mind, and he says, hey, you want to talk about unfair? Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. I sent my son to die on the cross, and most of the world ignores him. I sent my son, and his story's been told for 2,000 years, and people still spit in his face and punch him and slap him. Let's talk about Jesus. Friday night, I had the wonderful opportunity to spend the night in Jackson, Mississippi. Actually, not Jackson, Mississippi, a suburb of Jackson called Pearl, P-E-A-R-L. And the town is just like the name sounds. It's a small Mississippi town. And I tell you, Friday night, I was whipped. I was tired. I was just ready to pass out. And we got done at the plant about 4:30, and they dropped me off at the hotel. I was tired, but I wasn't sleepy. And so right across the street from the hotel, there's a Cracker Barrel restaurant. So I went over there, and I always tease Chris about this because she likes these same vegetables that I do. I went over there and had a vegetable dinner. Turnip greens and fried okra. Amen back there, brother learned God. one Christian in the group. Turnip greens and fried okra and green beans and corn and carrots. And I had some fried apples for dessert. And so I got full, but I still wasn't sleepy. There was a movie theater down the street. And I said, well, I'm going to go see the Passion of Christ. And so I walked down a couple blocks and I watched the movie. There were only about 25 people in the auditorium. And when it was over, when the movie was over, they all got up and left. And I just sat there and I watched all the credits. And that little chorus came back to my mind. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. I came home Saturday morning. Landed about 11 o'clock in Detroit. And we had a hot dog lunch for the kids at noon. And so I got here just a little bit before 1 o'clock, just when they were getting ready to go to the skating rink. And so I went up and skated with them. And just happy this morning that I'm not like Sarah on crutches, that I'm whole, no bones broken. And Tracy was there trying to pay people to trip me so she could get a picture of me sprawled on the floor that she could sell at the auction. But that didn't happen. And then we came back to the church and put the tables away and helped Sam for a few minutes with the sound system. And then I had to go by the office. So I didn't get home till like 7 o'clock last night. And that was the first chance I had to study my Sunday school lesson. I usually study it on Monday, start on Monday morning. But I opened up the Sunday school book, and the theme for the whole quarter was, let's talk about Jesus. And so I went to bed last night with a little chorus on my mind. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I had a sermon already prepared to preach today because I knew I was going to be busy this week, that I wouldn't have time to study. And I was driving, going over to pick up Cliff and Minnie. And again, God didn't speak to me in an audible voice, but He said, you know, you can't preach that sermon that you have outlined. He said, how much clearer do I have to make it to you what I want you to talk about this morning? I want you to talk about Jesus. And so during Sunday school, I went to my office and put my other sermon in a drawer. Maybe sometime God will let me out, but this morning I want to preach on the subject, let's talk about Jesus. You know, talking about Jesus reminds us of three things. Number one, talking about Jesus reminds us of the price that was paid for our sins. In Isaiah chapter 53, here's what the Bible says. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was about the crucifixion. And you know, when we think of the crucifixion, most of us, we sanitize it. We clean it up. I mean, you've seen the pictures of Jesus on the cross that people have painted, and He looks like a man. I mean, most of the pictures don't even show blood dripping from His body. The Bible says that it says it back in Psalms as it was looking forward to the crucifixion, that when you looked on the cross, when you looked at the Son of God, when you looked at Jesus on Calvary, He could not be recognized as a human being. He was beaten so badly. You know, I applaud Mr. Gibson for his attempt, but I'll tell you what, I think he came up far short in the movie. I think he came up far short of showing the amount of suffering that our Savior endured for us. I mean, as I looked at that movie on the hanging on the cross, I could still recognize Him as a human being. And the Bible says that when they looked at Him, when those that stood at the cross and looked at Him, they could not even tell He was of mankind. He was beaten so badly. Now, I asked the question this morning for those of you that don't understand the full significance of Calvary. Why? Why? Why did this good man who lived among us for 33 years, who never committed a sin, the Bible says in all points He was tempted like as we, yet without sin. Not one evil deed did he do. Not one wicked thought did he have. Not one misspoken word. Not one thing left undone that should have been done. This perfect, righteous man, why did he hang on the cross? But he goes beyond that. Not only was he a perfect, righteous man, he was the very Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. God himself, the one who spoke the worlds into existence. The one who sustains our the creation. The one that holds it all together. The Prince of Heaven, when he said there in the Garden of Eden to his disciples, when he said, and when they were trying to defend him from being arrested, he said, look, I could call 12 legions of angels. They bow down to me. They take orders from me. I could call them and stop this. Why does this perfect, righteous man, why did the Son of Almighty God hang on that cross and die? For me and for you. You see, I was the sinner. I was the one that did the evil deeds and thought the wicked thoughts, that left undone what should have been done. I was the one, as Brother Wendell sang last week, that should have paid the price for my sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. I was the one. You were the one that should have hung on that cross. We are the ones that should have been beaten. We are the ones whose nails should have gone through our hands and feet. But Jesus, God's only begotten Son, hung on that cross, paying the price for my sin, paying the price for your sin. That's why he went there. He went there for no sin that he committed. He went to pay for my sin. He went to pay for your sin. You see, every single one of us is a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, that was verse 10, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death. God decided, because he loved us so much, that he would pay that penalty for us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because Jesus paid the price, God comes to every single one of us with a gift. The Bible refers to it as the gift of salvation. It says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the Bible says if we'd receive that gift, he'd make us a child of his. John 1:12. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Let me just say this as clear, as simply, as sincerely as I know how to say this morning. You're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior. Jesus died for you. If you were the only person in the whole world that was a sinner, he would have come and died for you. And this morning, I beg you, don't leave this place without having received Christ. Don't turn him away. Don't reject him. Don't be as guilty as the Roman soldiers as they spit and beat him. And when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. They had no idea who they were hanging on that cross. But we do. We know who he was. We know why he died. And for every single person in this room, from Steve up here to RJ back there, he died for every single one of us. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You don't get to heaven any other way. You don't get to heaven by being good. You don't get to heaven by taking the Lord's Supper. You don't get to heaven by being baptized. You don't get to heaven by joining the church. You get to heaven by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're here this morning, you've never done that. In just a second, I'm going to give you an opportunity to. So talking about Jesus reminds us of the price that was paid for our sins. Number two, talking about Jesus reminds us that we are not our own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, the Bible says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, it says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men." In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, I'm not my own. I don't belong to myself. I've been purchased by God. When Jesus shed his blood on Calvary, what God was doing was buying me and buying you. It says in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, I have no right to decide what I do with my life. I'm not my own. I have no right to have a will for my life, because I am not my own. I have no right to make the big decisions about what I'm going to do with my life, because I am not my own. I was created and I was bought by God. I thought about that little story as I was sitting in my office a moment ago about that little boy made a toy boat. Spent a lot of time, and he put a little boat together and painted it all up so it looked real nice. And he took it down to the lake and sailed it. And the wind caught that boat and it went out to sea. And the little boy said, "I've lost my boat. I'll never see it again." A few weeks later, he was walking by a toy store, and in the window of that store, there was his little boat. He went in, saw the clerk, and said, "Hey, that's my boat in the window." And the clerk, who was the owner of the store, said, No, that's not your boat. Some guy came by here a few hours ago and sold me that boat. I bought it. It's mine." And the little boy said, "No, it's my boat." And he said, could you go get it? And I'll tell you, my initials, RB, are on the bottom of that boat. And the owner went over to the boat, and sure enough, he turned it over, and there were the little boy's initials, RB. He said, "Son, I'm sorry. I bought this boat. I can't give it back to you. You can buy it." And the little boy said, "Well, how much will it cost?" He said, "Well, it'll cost $10. The little boy ran home, dumped out his penny bank, and got in all his pockets and dug out all his pennies and nickels. And he had $10. He went back to the store. Said, "Here's the $10. I want my boat back." You all know the store took the boat out of the window, took his $10, gave him his boat. And as the little boy walked out of the store, holding the little boat in his hands, he said, little boat, you're now mine twice. I made you and I bought you." This morning, picture yourself in the hands of Jesus as he says to each one of you, "Hey, you're mine twice. I made you and I bought you." We're not our own. We have no right to decide what we're going to do with our life. We belong to him. And then number three, talking about Jesus reminds us the price that was paid for our sins. Talking about Jesus reminds us that we're not our own. Number three, talking about Jesus reminds us that we have a charge to tell the whole world about him. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You see, God's not willing that any person should perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. You're not one person in this room that God's already rejected. I don't care these people that talk about predestination. God wants every single person that's sitting in this room to go to heaven with him. Not one person excluded. Not one person left out. In fact, every person that lives in your neighborhood, God wants to go to heaven. Every person that works wherever you work, God wants to go to heaven. In fact, every person that's a member of your family, God wants to go to heaven. Every person that you come in contact with, that you see on the street, that you sit beside on an airplane, that you pass in the grocery store, God wants every single one of them to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish. And our job is to tell them about Jesus. I had Brother Chuck read that, those few verses from Acts. Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, were before the religious rulers right after they had crucified Christ, and they were preaching Jesus. And the religious rulers called them in and said, "You guys got to stop. You got to quit. You're telling the whole city that we're responsible for his death, and you just got to quit preaching Jesus. You got to quit talking about Jesus. You can't mention the name of Jesus." And I thought, that's what they're trying to do today. Can't talk about him in school. Can't talk about him at work. Can't talk about Jesus. And here's what Peter and John said. "Well, look, we don't know if it's right or wrong to listen to you, but I'll tell you one thing. We can't help but speak about the things that we've seen and heard. If we tried to hold it in, it would be like a volcano that erupts from our hearts and our minds. We've got to talk about Jesus because we've seen what he's done in our life. He paid for my sin. He died to pay the price for my sin. I can't help but talk about him." Amen. And that ought to be the heartbeat of every Christian that's sitting in this room. There's a world that's dying and going to hell. And we know the solution. We know the answer. The answer is Jesus. Nothing else. Jesus. If you're here today and you've never taken advantage of the gift that God offers you through his only begotten Son, would you do it this morning? He went to the cross for you. For you. He suffered and died for you. All you got to do is receive it. Just take it. Just take it. And then I say to all the Christians, you're not your own. We belong to him. We're his. He not only made us, he bought us. Why don't you just surrender your life to God this morning and say, "Okay, I do surrender. I'm yours. I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do." Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Don't fight him. If there's even a slight tug on your heart and your mind that says, "Hey, what he's talking about is true and it's for you," then you get up in just a second and you walk down the aisle. We'll take you the Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for making the story so simple. You even tell us that we've got to become like little children and just believe it and just accept it. And I pray for every person in this room this morning that doesn't know Christ. I pray that they'll decide. They'll just decide that they're going to believe you. They'll decide they're going to believe this book. They'll decide that they're going to trust Jesus and nothing else to get them into heaven. I pray for those that don't know him. I pray for those that do. If that Holy Spirit, as you speak to them, they would be obedient to your will. Just bless this invitation. Use it in a mighty way. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.